Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world. The tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu to the bustling southern business hub city down under, Sydney, Australia. From Fiji Islands to the mining states of the western Australasian township of Perth. From the tropical North Australian state, Queensland, its capital, Brisbane, called the Sunshine State of Australia, to the remote and beautiful Cook Islands nestled in the wondrous island chains of the Pacific Islands. Richard Butler, with over 35 years' experience in the real estate business as a developer of residential and resort properties with opportunities in export, from timber to wine from the world-famous vineyards down under, will educate and open your perspective on his part of the world in the South Pacific. Blue skies, azure blue waters, no pollution, fantastic weather. Richard Butler is also the preeminent authority on all things from Vanuatu, where he is appointed trade commissioner for the Republic of Vanuatu. Get ready for an hour of interesting interviews with people down under who can do remarkable things and updates weekly on what is happening in and around the magnificent world of the South Pacific.
And a very good night, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you may be in this vast and beautiful world of ours. I'm Brian. Welcome to another edition of Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, right here in the Overseas Radio Network, where things are perking up in the Southern Hemisphere. Things are chilling in the Northern Hemisphere. We will find out what's going on in the real estate market. We'll also get some good lifestyle views presented today. In fact, let's talk about it. We're gonna cap off our show talking about what's going on in Vanuatu. Richard's got an update on Vanuatu coming our way on the program today. Plus, we're going to talk to a real estate agent, a real estate principal, I should say, with Ray White Group. This one is based out of Darwin. Darwin is that area in the Northern Territory known for some big, big things, including a U.S. military base. But there's also some real estate we're going to talk about up in that area today with Nick Muselis. And, of course, we're going to start things off by introducing the one, the only, Richard. Yes, he's going to be joining us in just a bit. It's all coming your way right here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. And welcome back to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. We're going to join Richard Butler, who is back from Brisbane. And he also has some big news about Brisbane and some interesting, considering all the talk that we've had about Sydney, some very interesting information dealing with Sydney. The auctions are still off for the next couple of weeks, and Richard will fill us in on what's going on in Sydney and also up in Brisbane. And I should also make light of the fact that, indeed, we have David Gregerson with us in Alabama, USA, taking care of all the sound and knobs and dials and making sure everything goes copacetic with the program today. And as I said before, joining us from Sydney is Richard Butler. So, Richard, first of all, good day to you. I know it's just breaking sunshine. Here it's starting to get darker and colder and colder and colder.
Well, nobody should have good morning, and nobody should have to live in the freezing cold or the snow when we've got modern telecommunications and amazing jet services. You could 8 hours time, 10 hours time. You could be living, in Vanuatu. You could get a flight from Los Angeles down to Fiji, Fiji to Vanuatu, and in less than 12 hours, you could be enjoying balmy 22 degrees in the winter and 28 degrees in the summer. So, not to mention here in Sydney, of course, it's a beautiful day in Sydney today where I am. So, great to hear your voice, Brian. And, last week I've got to apologize to the listeners with regard to some of the sound we had in the show. It was a little bit difficult. It was a last-minute trip that I had to do to Brisbane. And boy, have I come back with some details about Brisbane. But just want to thank Ian Adams for coming on last week, the show. And Ian's going to be coming on a little bit more over the next 12 months, bringing in some very interesting projects which are being offered and looking for investors to come on board. So we look forward to that. But look, the big news is I got a report this week, came across my desk from a guy called Terry Ryder, who's a a very good operator and a pundit with regard to real estate prices. And the headline sort of blew me out of the water. It said, Brisbane, the best long-term performer, and Sydney, the worst since 1970. And I sort of went ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. What's going on here? Brian, we've been telling everybody how good Sydney's been. And this report came across my desk saying that Brisbane has actually outperformed Sydney on the long-term basis, and he's gone back to 1970.
Really? How can that possibly be? I listen to you week in and week out tell me about how Sydney prices are going up through the roof, over $1 million at these auctions, and now that's the worst performer?
Well, between the two of them since 1970. I mean, Brisbane started from a very low base, and as you probably know, figures are figures. You know, if you're getting 11% on 200,000 and you're getting 11% on 400,000, you know which person's doing better. But on a percentage basis, Brisbane's averaged 11% a year in house price growth since 1970, which means that Brisbane prices have doubled every 6 years or so over the past 35 years. Now, the growth has not been even with the 70s being particularly strong for Brisbane real estate. The 80s were also healthy, but the 90s value growth was sluggish in all the cities down here in Australia. For example, Melbourne has also averaged better than 10% a year growth since 1970. You know, think about that for a minute, Brian. You know, you put your money in a bank. What sort of interest rate? You put $10,000 in a bank. Put $100,000 in a bank. What sort of interest rate are you going to get back on an average?
You should say that because we've been talking about bank CDs in another program, and you're lucky, and I do mean lucky, if you see somewhere between 2 and 3%. Now, I'm not talking about putting $100,000 in a bank. I'm talking more about putting $5,000-$6,000 in a bank CD. If you start talking $10,000, $100,000, I'm sure you can find some better deals, but nothing, and I repeat, nothing near 10%.
Well, what actually happens is that in Melbourne, on that growth of 10%, the prices are doubling every 7 years on average. But, you know, we've been doing a lot of talk about Melbourne as well, but the bulk of Melbourne's high growth came before 1990, and the city has been, just sort of, average since then. What actually happens is when you see these, and I'm reading between the lines on this report, and it's a good report, I might add, from Terry Ryder. What I'm seeing is I know when the property build boom was happening. And in Melbourne, you know, there was great property boom in the 80s. The 90s were the worst years for residential real estate since 1970. Even with the latest price boom, no capital city has averaged better than 8% annual growth since 1990. But when you consider that Brisbane, Melbourne, Perth and Sydney have all averaged between 9 to 11% a year since 1970, hey, why would you put any money anywhere near a bank? It just shows how much the 90s dragged down the overall performance. But see, now we've got the situation, we've got a recovery happening in Australia at the moment, happening in. That's why one of the reasons I went up to Brisbane last week to sort of check on and talk to a few of my real estate friends and a few developers and also spoke to some people in hospitality, spoke to a lawyer, there's a friend of mine that does a tremendous amount of conveyancing. I've known him well. I took my first contract to him in about November 1988. And a legal firm called Alex Mackay up in Brisbane, I can certainly recommend them very highly. Yeah, so Alex sat down with me and he said, Richard, you know, I said, what's happening here in Brisbane? He said, well, you can see it, can't you? On every corner and every space, there's a crane, there's a new block of units going up. And Alex said to me, well, you know, there's all these units going up everywhere. We're just so busy. We're conveyancing. We're stamping contracts. you know, this is Brisbane's on a boom. Brisbane's on a way up. And he said, well, my only concern is that there's going to be a lot of units for rent next year or the year after. Well, he's concerned about they're going to be for rent. I can tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of people moving to Brisbane, moving to Queensland from New South Wales and from Victoria, from Melbourne, where they've actually sold their house, grabbed their profit, and headed north to the sunshine. Same thing as they do over there with you in America, where they head off to Miami to enjoy the sunshine in their later years. So basically, Brisbane has absolutely come into its own, which we've been saying for quite a while. Sydney is still performing so well, but again, Brisbane on a percentage basis, basically, from this report has done better. But look, just some noteworthy things. A typical Sydney house could have been bought for around $18,000 in 1970. And in Brisbane in 1970, you would have paid $8,500 for a house. In 1990, the typical house cost was not more than $140,000 in every city except Sydney, where it was dearer. Recently, as 2000, the average home could cost less than $200,000 in every capital city except Melbourne City, with Adelaide only being $132,000 and Hobart $129,000. So Australia has basically absolutely boomed in the last 15 years. And remembering, in between that time, we've had the great financial crisis, the credit squeeze, or the Lehman Brothers that you actually talk about it. But the average annual rise in values by the decade between 2000 and 2005, and this is the last part of the roundup, Adelaide 15.4%, Brisbane 13.6%, Canberra 15%, Darwin, we're going to be talking in Darwin today, 8%, Hobart 15%, Melbourne 8.5%, Perth 11.6%, we've got to do a show in Perth, and lastly, Sydney has averaged 9.9% between the years 2000 and 2005. Now, I haven't got them up to 2015, but those figures are going to jump up in Sydney. I mean, they've been 14, 15% in the last 12 months. So, yes, you've got to invest in real estate, folks. It shows the better returns, the long-term returns, and I can only see this continuing on in Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, and Darwin over the next 5 to 10 years.
You finally brought up that name, Darwin. And that's where we're going to go with our next segment, to talk to Nick Mousselis, who is with Ray White. And we'll find out what the real estate life is like up in Darwin, Northern Territory, when we come back on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Sustainable timber investment from the Republic of Vanuatu. Once in a lifetime, an investment offer comes along that if you don't jump on board, you'll be saying, I could have. Yes, you could have bought Apple shares. You could have invested in Google. You could have bought gold 3 years ago. But did you? Well, listen closely. This is one of those light bulb moments in your life where you have to act today. 35 years ago, timber plantations were planted in the Republic of Vanuatu in the South Pacific, an island nation, and now they are ready for harvesting. Not just any timber, it was introduced as a sustainable timber called cordia, selling in the USA for up to $7,600 per cubic meter. One cubic meter is 432 board feet. Cordia is not native rainforest timber. It's from the plantation and used for flooring, decking, architraves, fit-outs for sailing boats, and for our wood turners. It's a wonderful wood, a hard wood, but very light. The builders love to work with it, and we all know how costly wood is these days. Sustainable Timber, A-class licensed timber company in Vanuatu, has just released shares in the investment. Approved by the stringent Vanuatu Investment Promotion Authority, called VIPA for short, at $55,000 per share. There are only 20 on offer and projected returns on over 20% per annum. Plus, the investment will provide you with if you require residency in Vanuatu as an international investor, if you require to escape from this Western world madness and experience paradise as your new home address. It's not mandatory, but available with the investment. So again, Sustainable Timber, a Class A timber company in the Republic of Vanuatu, an investment opportunity at only $55,000, returns projected at over 20% per annum, and residency as well if you require it. The timber has grown, it's ready for harvest now, profits are months away, not years. Contact Richard Butler now for the offer to be emailed to you. Call Richard on country code 61417007792 or email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. Don't delay. There are only 20 shares offered. Call him, country code 61417007792. Or if you're in Australia local, call 0417007792. Call him now. It's a light bulb moment, listeners. Act today. And as Richard says, decision makers are profit makers.
Indeed, indeed. This is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. And we're going to stay in Australia. Go to a different area. I'm not sure that we have ventured into the Northern Territory before in this program. We've talked about it, but I don't think we've actually had a guest from that area. But we do today. Nick Muselis is the Ray White Group. He is a sales agent, and he has been a principal of several different real estate practices. And he loves to work with people. He is from the area. He lives in the area. He is about the Northern Territory, in particular about Darwin. And as we have learned before about Darwin, there's a lot going on, especially with the U.S. military base. So without further ado, let's welcome Nick to the program today. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Very well, and thank you for having me. Hope you're well.
I'm doing excellent, and I hope the same for you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you end up in Darwin?
In Darwin, it's a great story. That's a great question, actually. My parents immigrated from a little place called Kalymnos. Now, it's an island in Greece. It is closer to Turkey than it is to mainland Greece. And there were plenty of opportunities. My parents relocated here separately, met, married, and then my sister and I came along. We're twins and have been living in Darwin since 1969.
And so are you? I'm looking at a picture of you right now. You don't look old enough to have been born in 1969.
You are very, very kind. I can tell you, though, I certainly feel old.
Real estate does that to you, Brian.
Oh,
well, that's it, Nick. How long have you been in the real estate profession?
I can tell you exactly. Now, I started on the 8th of February, 1992.
Wow.
20-odd years now.
Nick, so the question is, are you going to live real estate for the rest of your life or die as a real estate agent? And would you ever consider doing it outside, like in the United States, maybe New England, Massachusetts?
Well, that's a great question. Firstly, I will die a real estate agent. I have a coach who is in the States. His name is Bob Boland. I speak with him weekly. I have a sister who lives in Chicago. And real estate has always been very, very tempting to practice in the States. However, I believe that in Darwin, we have the best real estate market in the world. And regardless of how tough things are at the moment, it's certainly not as tough as anywhere else in the world. I love real estate. I breathe it. I'm consumed.
How tough is it in your area?
Excuse me. I missed that.
I'm sorry, Nick. The question is, how tough is the real estate market in your area?
Well, for us, it's tough. It's only because we've been used to such a good market. Price corrected anywhere between 10 and 15%. Our sellers don't like it. And up until now, if we could not achieve a price for a seller or a customer of ours, guess what? We could wait a month or two and achieve our price, probably even more so. But now the days on market are taking a bit longer. I've not seen the market as competitive as it has been for many, many years, if at all. But to sell, it's all about price now. 10 to 15%, that's if we've priced it around that mark to start with.
Nick, I would like to jump in here and ask you a question. I was up in Darwin, and for the listeners, you know, they don't know very much about Darwin. It's the most northernest city in Australia. It's virtually right on the doorstep. In fact, we do describe it the doorstep to Asia, don't we, Nick? It's a good description of it.
Spot on.
Yeah, and it's a marvellous city. You know, it's very much like a bit of a satellite city to the rest of Australia, because we've got a lot of our population lives on the east coast and in Brisbane, you know, Sydney, Melbourne, then down to Adelaide, across to Perth, up to perhaps Cairns. But Darwin is sort of very isolated in one way, but, you know, has international airport there and gateway to Asia, as I just mentioned. Fabulous place also for cattle property up there, the big buffaloes, not to mention the Pasquale pearls, one of the most, and a Greek also, another Greek, Nick, there with the Pasquale pearls.
Yes. Yeah. Not and, from my parents' island, but close by.
Oh, well, are you related? Because that would be a good person to be related to, I think.
But very, very good family friends.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they came out, again, very much like your father did. They came out quite a few decades ago and started with virtually nothing and built this just the most amazing empire, which I recently had a look at Pasquale, and I think they've, you know, something like about an income of about $400 million a year. So that's amazing coming in from all the different businesses that they're involved with. And those are the sort of things that can happen up in the Northern Territory. But the Northern Territory, it has a magic of its own, doesn't it? I mean, you know, Brian, they have the biggest stubbies in the world. I don't think Brian knows what a stubby is, do you, Brian?
No, I know what is pretty big up there that isn't a stubby, I guess.
Brian's got, it's fascinating with, I've told him not to talk about the crocs. He's got a fascination with crocodiles, with Nick, I'm sorry. But as I told you yesterday, we don't have that trouble up in much trouble with the crocs anymore because the sharks ate them. But,
that's right. And whatever else the sharks couldn't eat, the jellyfish could.
There you are. That's good. That's got this part of the show finished. Thank God for that. But I mean, you know, the stubby is it's still the Darwin stubby, isn't it? The big bottle of beer. You still buy it there?
It certainly is. Yep, you can still buy it here. It's now reserved fairly much for tourists, and lots of people take it with them on their flights back home to take to family and friends. They're a big 2 litre bottle of beer. It is very, very tasty, I can assure you, and very refreshing. Particularly when served nice and cold.
Well, they call the little beers down here stubbies. You know, all the builders have them, you know, on their building sites. And when they have a drink at the end of the day or they have a drink at the end of the week on payday, they all go and have a, you know, they take a carton of stubbies out for the builders. And so this amazing great big bottle is quite a famous landmark for Darwin. But I mean, you know, other than that, Darwin's been destroyed twice, once by the Japanese and bombing and during the war, and then I think it was 1974 we had Cyclone Tracy that came through, and also so it's a completely rebuilt city twice. But now I just can't get over the high-rise apartments which are coming out of Darwin as well. And also the other thing, Nick, I want you to comment on is the number of tourists you're getting. It's just amazing. The backpackers love Darwin, don't they?
Absolutely. And we were very seasonal. But for the last 3 or 4 years, our tourist season is very consistent, regardless of whether it's the wet season or the dry season. The dry season is the equivalent of our winter. And we'd, in previous years, see a spike in the tourist numbers who were escaping the winters, you know, of the southern states and cities.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's all year round, and it's getting busier and busier.
And you're also getting the tour boats coming in as well, aren't you? The Carnival and the P&Os and all that sort of stuff as well.
Last year we had 63 ships. We're a little bit down on numbers this year, but we're certainly looking to increase between the cruise ships to between 70 and 80 ships next year.
So well, tourism's booming in Darwin. We'll have a breakdown. We'll come back in the next segment if we can, Nick, and we'll talk about what, you know, what sort of real estate deals you've got up there for people regarding houses and units and all those sorts of things. Have you got anything you want to add, Brian?
Yes, the simple line that I love to add. This is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. We have Nick Mousselas joining us on the program today. We're talking about lifestyle and real estate in the Northern Territory, in particular Darwin, which we have found out is the northernmost part of Australia, not far from Bali, not far from Asia. Nick, as we come back into the segment, Richard has explained that your area is big for beef and cattle. I'm wondering if I'm a rancher, let's say from the United States, and I'm looking to expand out to your area, out to your territory, is there enough grazing land? Is there enough water for cattle, enough feed? Could I make a go of it out there trying to buy that kind of property?
In a nutshell, absolutely. It's very exciting. We have a number of American investing and American companies investing in our land. Our land, or the Northern Territory, is deemed to be the food bowl of Asia in the coming years. The Chinese investors in particular are investing. The Americans are investing. Water is a luxury for any other part in Australia apart from us. There is an abundance of feed, land, good grazing country. I would encourage you to set up tomorrow if you could.
Well, instead of talking about a corporate farm, what about a family farm? Is there something affordable?
Absolutely. We have many, many farms producing local fruit, hobby farms, you know, your meat products. Mangoes in particular are very, very attractive. The market gardeners are running thriving businesses. We have great soil, good potential, and diversity.
And when we say diversity, exactly what do we mean?
Diversity from plants, from animal, from crops. The soil is wonderful. And we're now finding that people are developing their farms in areas which would not have otherwise been considered, you know, 3 or 4 hours from Darwin, small remote communities, and business is thriving.
And then, of course, you've also got the mining up there as well, in places like, what's the name of that island just near you? I've forgotten the name of the place now.
Down
in the Gulf.
Groot Island,
yeah. All those sorts of, there's enormous mining up in that area as well, isn't there?
Absolutely. We're experiencing a huge boom at the moment. At the moment, there is a large gas refinery under construction. We're entering the second phase. There'll be another two phases. We have the world's majority, or 50%, not the world's majority, please. Sorry, can I make another statement?
Sure.
Sorry about that, guys. I'd like to say that the Northern Territory in South Australia have 50% of uranium supply.
Wow.
Oil and gas. Fracking is now becoming very, very, very popular. There are companies entering our marketplace and setting up business and all doing extremely well.
Well, then the other thing, of course, all this work is continuing on, building the state, building the Northern Territory, and then you've got the new U.S. Army Marine base that's come in from Pendleton, California. You've got, 2,500 Marines there stationed as well?
Yes, at a minimum. I believe that the numbers will probably be double.
Has that had some impact on the town with regards to, you know, guys spending? Well, obviously, they are and are. They've got to go out and have their Friday or Saturday night or whatever it may be. But has it had an effect on the town with real estate in any way?
Not at the moment, no, but we'll see the positive effects coming in the next 2 or 3 years. Once
right.
They become established, they enjoy the lifestyle, decide to stay.
Yeah. What about the, if I can ask you also, what would be the cheapest house and land package you've got in Darwin at the moment for sale? Say a three-bedroom house, nice little area. What would be sort of around the pricing for that?
At the price, at the present moment, a land house package would be in the vicinity of $550,000. It is expensive relative to interstate, but in Darwin, it's good value for money. From an investment perspective, you could easily rent this property for $750 a week, which would give you a very healthy return.
And what about perhaps maybe, you know, there's an area there down near Fanny Bay, which has got some high rise and some beautiful homes I saw. I can't remember the actual location name, but there was some canals or there was some boat harbour marina type development down there. What would you pay down there for one of those luxury homes?
A waterfront home would be in the vicinity of $3 to $5 million. The most recent sale was $6.5 million. And he was a cattle farmer. He just sold a large station. He was a man slightly younger than me, so I'm very envious. He popped in and in 15 minutes he and his wife had paid his deposit.
Wow, that's the sort of client.
Agent.
That's the sort of client I'm looking for every day.
Am I?
Well, that's great. And so going a bit further, what a spread, $550,000 up to $6.5 million. And Brian and I have been talking, Nick, and for weeks and months about the Sydney market and how, you know, the auctions down here have sort of been averaging around about bouncing off either side of $1 million, actually, and which is, you know, quite amazing. But the I've often said that what actually happens is that people take their money and leave, cash in their house for $1 or $2 or $3 million and go and live somewhere else. Are you getting many people coming up from the southern states to live in Darwin, or is it basically mainly the investors coming in to build the high-rise or unit apartments that are coming into Darwin? You know, there's some great high-rises that have been built there that I've seen. My last trip was 2 years ago, so I'm sure there's been more built. But, you know, where is the money coming in from Australia? Was is it from the southern, or is it all local money building the high-rise?
It's a 50-50 mix. It's local building the high-rise. It's then the investors from interstate purchasing. We have groups such as the Investors Club who will, you know, fly three plane loads of investors to Darwin, and in one weekend they would have, you know, purchased anywhere up to 100 properties.
Wow, that's the way to do it. We're actually
Which
doing the same thing. Yeah, George Winslet, chap I work for, has just arrived back in Vanuatu today, as a matter of fact, and we've been over there organising direct flights from China to Vanuatu. Well, he has been, and I've been helping. And so that's one of the things we're looking for as well. So, yeah, so this is it, Brian. We've got plane loads of people coming from the south to Darwin to invest, and the major reason would be because it's more affordable and the rents are better. Is that the reason they're coming to Darwin, Nick?
Not so much affordable and the rents are better. We're actually twice as expensive, you know, so to speak. It's more that the work is great, the lifestyle is wonderful, the weather is wonderful all year round.
And the demand is there.
The demand is there. And we're finding other sources that we hadn't otherwise had anticipated, namely the Defence Housing of Australia, purchasing, have a terrific business plan. They'll be investing heavily in supporting local development and business for the next 5 years. I myself have just sold 30-odd properties in the one building to them, which is the highest percentage they've ever purchased, and it's just wonderful to see support coming from an area which had traditionally not been an area that I've conducted business with.
So what one of the things we should explain, I might be off here a little bit, but off the fact I've been talking about, but the Australian government has decided to move or relocate a lot of its Australian forces into actually Darwin to become a major base, and that's probably one of the reasons why the US Marines are there. So Darwin has a very bright future, doesn't it, Nick?
It certainly does. You know, strategically, it is the best place to be from a defence perspective, from a business perspective. Let me put it to you this way. If you fly interstate and you travel for 4 hours or 5 hours, you will come across 10 million people. If you travel north, into Asia and you fly for 3 hours, you will come across potentially a billion plus.
Right. Listen, Nick, how do we get hold of, if someone listening to the show, could you give them your contact phone number and also your email address, so if there's any interest from the listeners, they can contact you?
Gladly. I would be happy to take a call for anyone who'd like to chat. My mobile number is 0411-724-000. My email address is nick.mousellis@raywhite.com. Happy to take a call from anyone at any time.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for being with us today on the program. We really appreciate it. Nick Mousellis joining us from Darwin, Northern Territory, Australia, right here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Dreams and goals are so important, don't you agree? Most of us have a dream location to relocate to. 85% of tourists recently surveyed wanted to own their own waterfront bungalow. You see, it's an investment and could be an income-producing property for your retirement. Or, if you're ready to relocate now, a South Seas island sounds okay to me to just become a beachcomber with a laptop. If this resonates with you, then you have to call or email Richard Butler, the sponsor of this show. Ask Richard, a project manager for property developers in the Republic of Vanuatu, who have one-bedroom waterfront resort bungalows from $199,950. Yes, from $199,950. What value that is! But there is more. From only $399,000 for amazing three-bedroom, two-story holiday homes that you can use when you pre-book and will supply you with amazing passive income returns. Imagine waterfront bungalows that can return $200 to as much as $800 a day rental. Plus, Richard informs of the new Le Plateau residential estate with three-bedroom house and land from $255,000, which the local banks state they will finance approved clients from 20 to 30% deposit. Email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com or call him on country code 61-417-007-792.
And how about that, Nick Mousellis joining us on the program today from Darwin, the Northern Territory of Australia. Some great things, some great insights, and sounds like an area where people are starting to move. Could be because of defense spending, et cetera, et cetera. Be that as it may, it sounds like a great area. Here's another great area for you outside of Australia. It's called Vanuatu. It's a chain of 83 islands. We talk about Vanuatu quite often on this program, and we will continue to do so today. Richard, it's my understanding that chicken wings are playing a big role in Vanuatu.
I'm glad you asked that question. You know, we're just talking to Nick there a second ago, and he's got a, you know, he's got a town of 150,000 people or more. And of course, Vanuatu's only got 250,000 people spread over 83 islands. And Port Vila, you know, it's got something like about 35 to 40,000 people. It's a small, you know, it's a teardrop in the South Pacific Ocean, a beautiful teardrop in the South Pacific Ocean. But last week I got a copy of the paper. And this is like between Christmas and New Year, or just after New Year, and first week of January. And on the front page it had, "We're out of chicken wings." And that they love chicken wings in Vanuatu, and they come in and by container load. But over Christmas, people, you know, had that many parties, and they actually cornered the market in chicken wings and bought everything. So there was, the front page said, "No more chicken wings until the boat arrives." That was about a week ago. In today's paper, it's got a big ad, "Chicken wings are back in the store again." So I had to laugh that on the front page of the paper, the absence of chicken wings made front page news. But then, you know, the very next day, there was an article in the paper with regard to the Chinese government is actually opening up an embassy in they've already got one, but they've actually got a new piece of land, and they're going to expand this embassy into an extremely large building. you know, full of offices and departments to help the people of Vanuatu. They're showing a great interest, along with obviously other countries, America and, you know, Australia and New Zealand. But, you know, things are getting bigger in Port Vila. Things are getting bigger in Vanuatu. Also today, well, there's been news come out that we're actually the local paper, which prints every day, the Daily Post, is now going to start printing a Chinese paper. I think it might only be once a week. I'm not sure. But they're actually going to start producing a Chinese paper, specifically for the number of Chinese coming to live in, to migrate into Vanuatu.
The Daily Post is a Australian paper. Is it a Port Vila paper, Vanuatu paper? Who is the Daily Post?
The Daily Post is a Vanuatu company, and it prints every day, and it's been there, I think, pretty much close to 20 years now. And there's also another paper called The Independent. So we're serviced now by, we will be serviced now by, you know, at least three papers a week. We've also had, in the last week or two, we've also had the government basically say to many people that are involved in the television and radio industry, offering streamlining the department. We've got Chinese interest in coming in to expand that. I think I told you a couple of months ago, Huawei, the big radio, telephone, mobile people, they have now committed to putting up a new television station in Vanuatu and producing 10 channels, which you'll be able to pick up on your iPhone. Obviously, they're trying to sell Huawei phones, and this signal is going to be available throughout the whole island. So, telecommunications and communications through paper, also radio, has become a number one priority for Vanuatu. And of course, if you can communicate with people, you can educate. And I can see that, you know, a lot of these schools are going to be getting new flat screens. And they're probably getting teachers in a central location, and that'll help with, assisting with the education with the outside island. So I believe that is the plan. And then, of course, along with that, George has just arrived back, George Winston, who I work with. He's just arrived back from China, from being up in Shanghai. And he's been up there negotiating with three groups of people. One is for our prefabricated homes with regards to the factories and being able to get them into containers and get them down to Port Vila, to the new the new wharf down there, the new container wharf, which is under construction. And I think there's about $95 million put aside for that. And we interviewed the director of the container wharf about 4 or 5 months ago. And when that's finished, it's going to be the most modern and container wharf in the Southern Hemisphere. Even though it's only a very small one, they're still using all the new technical changes, the new cranes. It's just going to be fantastic. And also, they're upgrading the wharfs where the cruise ships come in, the P&O, the Carnival. In fact, we've got some grandchildren that just went on a cruise to Vanuatu, left yesterday, and three of them, they've gone on their first cruise because they're actually making the price of the cruise is now so affordable that it's booming down here. Cruising is actually booming. And I don't think it'll be very long before you'll start seeing in America and China and other places where people will fly down and then catch a cruise boat from either Brisbane or even from Vanuatu, link up with a cruise boat in Vanuatu and then go for a cruise through the other island nations of the South Pacific. I mean, there's something like, I think it's 22 nations in the South Pacific with a combined population of around about 10 million. And every one of the islands is just different from the other. I mean, you'd think they'd all be the same, but they're not. They've all got their different cultures, different ideas, different native dancing, different native way of producing food. They've all got a different something. They've all got something that's very interesting. But the whole of the South Pacific is just a tourism paradise. And along with all those sorts of things, as far as access is concerned, one of our big air operators down here in Australia, which is called Jetstar, which is a shoot off from Qantas. It's Qantas's cheap airline. They've just started direct flights from the Gold Coast out to Fiji, and they had a price advertised this week for $149, and that was an opening price. So you're starting to see not only international, outside international people looking at Vanuatu, we're also starting to see Australian and New Zealand people getting pretty serious about perhaps investing some money into the different developments and different opportunities which are available in Vanuatu. Brian, I can remember talking to you 2 or 3 years ago, and you said to me, what's happening out there? You said, if my son came out and started a fishing business, would he get any business? Well, if your son came out now and started a fishing business, he would be overrun. We've got people walking the streets looking to do something, looking to spend, coming off the boats, coming from the planes. It's just a marvellous position for the people of Vanuatu to be in, because all this overseas money basically means better education, better health, more jobs, and the country can basically stand on its own 2 feet. And that's what's arrived from being a member of the World Trade Organization. So Darwin, today we're talking about how exciting it is up there. Vanuatu, it's equally exciting, but, you know, slightly smaller. It doesn't have the uranium and the cattle breeding at this point of time, but it will have agriculture and cattle breeding, and we will become a food bowl as well in the next 5 to 10 years. So I've enjoyed the show today. Brian, how have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed it very well. For Richard Butler and David Gregerson, our studio producer, and Nick Moselis, who is in Darwin, Northern Territory, Australia, I'm Brian Thomas. This has been Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome is a greeting that is genuinely offered to all who visit the Republic of Vanuatu. Vanuatu, an undiscovered secret, has now opened to the world via the web portal Escape Artist, a highly successful international association. And we offer you the opportunity to work, live, play, invest, and retire to this Y-shaped chain of 83 islands lying 2,500 kilometers northeast of Sydney, Australia. Escape Artist Vanuatu was launched in late 2014, and our nation is now firmly established as a destination for relocation and tourism from all parts of the globe. Vanuatu is now a member of the preeminent World Trade Organization since January 2012. Vanuatu has strong existing links from expatriates from all over the world, such as Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom, the Americas, USA, and Canada, plus European nations like France, Germany, and now in the last decade, from Asian countries like China, Japan, Korea, and Vietnam. Permanent residency is available to you who wish to relocate via property purchase, to approved applicants, of course. Vanuatu is promoted as one of the happiest places in the world, voted twice in the last decade by independent international experts. The ecotourism paradise has now entered the high-tech world with the recent arrival of the high-speed South Pacific communication cable, bringing 4G, and now Vanuatu Nation is only 49 milliseconds from the financial markets of New York, UK, Singapore, or Shanghai. Vanuatu is also a tax-friendly nation with no personal or corporate taxation, no death duties, and no land tax. Vanuatu is a clean and green nation whose future is assured as an emerging nation, with a commitment to maintain and promote the introduction of the four pillars of the modern environment world, which are clean industries, ecotourism, organic agriculture, and sustainable fishing and forestry. We welcome you to discover our beautiful pearl of the South Pacific. To come and discover Vanuatu for relocation, retirement, and escape. To follow our international escape artist mantra and enrich your life. It's never too late. So we invite you to consider and come to our island nation of Vanuatu to live, work, play, and invest.